Remind me of the names in which order.
Sai.
Sai.
Sam.
Angel. Okay. So the other Zoom is going, right? It's rolling?
It's on rolling.
Okay, so let's roll and then we'll go ahead and get to clap.
Where?
Nice. I wanna be what I got. Welcome to Also Cool Sounds Like, where we feature the stories and creative journeys of musicians in and around Montreal. We're having conversations about where their musical inspiration comes from, what keeps them going, and what navigating the industry is like today. Today we're sitting down with the young and up-and-coming emo surf rock trio No Waves.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
I was going to say that.
Hi, my name is Sai, short for Cyril. Actually, I'm surprised that not a lot of people know that. I'm the bassist of No Waves.
I'm Sam, and I play drums and I sing.
I'm Angel, and I play guitar and I also sing.
Can you describe the music that you make?
It's just pop to me. That's what I like to think and I like to call it.
Like trashy and noisy. And then we just play with other styles, I guess.
I think it's just a mumbo jumbo of like a lot of different genres together.
Mumbo jumbo. That's
yeah.
The genre.
Yeah,
mumbo
yo. Jumbo. Yo, let's just make that a new genre.
No Waves often turns heads in the Montreal music scene for being one of the youngest acts to appear on a concert lineup. After forming while they were still in high school, a mere 5 years ago, they quickly ingratiated themselves in the DIY community. I met up with them in my apartment on one of the coldest days this winter. We discussed their journey from playing in school talent shows to some of the city's most beloved local venues and festivals.
Well, I met Sai in elementary school, and at first we didn't like each other at all, but then we played GTA 5, and we really, really, really bonded over that. We just went through, like, a bunch of phases, like, wanting to make, like, videos and, like, just video games and stuff like that, and then at some point, I got really into Green Day, and Sai and I got really into Green Day as well, and we went to see Green Day, and we forced Sai to buy a bass.
Yeah, they went to see Green Day together. Yeah. I wasn't at the fabled, the legendary Green Day show, but they went to see Green Day.
Yeah, Green Day's pretty important. Yeah. I think one of my first memories with Sam is him looking at my phone, seeing that I'm listening to Green Day, and he's like, yo, Green Day.
Yeah, one of the first conversations we've had, I remember I texted him like, yo, you like American Idiot? And he was like, yeah, bro, I love that. And that was like one of the first like core memory conversations with him. Don't want to be an American idiot. Well, me and Angel have always wanted to be in a band together since we met pretty much. And then we were like, fuck it, we're going to make him buy a bass and just get with it.
Once No Waves found each other and their mutual love for early 2000s pop punk bands, they were ready to start performing anywhere they could.
And when was your first show?
Like a talent show, we had this little bit where like we had another band in the school where we played like covers and stuff, and we did a bit where like, oh, we lost the bassist. Who knows how to play bass?
And the crowd ran out of the crowd and came in.
Oh, nice.
But our first like show that we got booked for was when there were all the like
demonstrations.
Like all the protests for the environment. In 2019, it was a few years after we started, and then it was like March of 2019, and it was like the coldest day like ever. We played a show outside and like froze. It was terrible, but it was sick. It was cool.
We were really young, and like there's not a lot of like all ages places in Montreal, and we were just like we really wanted to play shows, and we had to book our own stuff, find places. We met some friends at the demonstration. That time we played like outside, and with them, they kind of had the same like goal of putting on an all ages show with like other artists or age.
Yeah, it was really tough to kind of like find a place where we can just do our shit what we wanted to do. So we just had to like make it ourselves. I don't know. It's hard to get booked when you're like 15 and like. No one knows who you are, so we were like, okay, we're just gonna do it ourselves, and it worked.
After being embraced by the Montreal DIY community, No Waves began to idolize and take influence from local acts. particularly experimental punk group Crab. But Angel told me he's also inspired by a burgeoning punk scene in Mexico, where he's from.
There's a big scene in the north of Mexico, and like Hermosillo, and even like Mexico City. It was a lot of like kids like our age back then that were basically doing the same thing as us, like putting on their own shows, like going to like party halls and like churches and just playing their music. And I thought that was really inspiring. And on top of that, the music was really, really cool. Like, it was a sound that I really, really digged. And I kind of like got super inspired by that whole scene in Mexico. And even now, a lot of the music that I consume comes from there. I'm really proud of where I'm from.
And do you find that you're getting those styles and putting them through in your writing?
I think so. Well, definitely more back then, because like back then I was really trying to go for that sound. Now it's not as much, because it's a bit of a mix of everything that we like.
Okay, I'm going to talk a little bit about a song that you guys wanted to talk about. So, actually, do you want to grab, would be a good time to get the guitar? Yeah, we'll take a 2 minutes.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Okay, so tell me, first of all, who is Franklin Jr.?
Our beloved dead fish.
No way!
Yeah.
He's Franklin, yeah.
Did you have a fish together?
Yeah. Me and Angel got him when I was in, like, 8th grade.
Yeah,
from the pet store.
This one day after school, we decided we were going to get a fish, and we went to get a fish. And he was cool. Like, we actually took him in the metro a couple times to switch homes, because it was shared custody.
We co-parented.
Yeah, yeah.
And how did he die?
Old age.
Yeah, old age.
How long was he alive for?
He lived, like, a year and a half.
No way.
Yeah.
Who was Franklin
Sr.? Senior. There's no Franklin Sr.
there was,
yet.
Remember that?
No, that was
first Franklin.
Yeah, it's this one kite that we got once.
We got a kite one time and named it Franklin. It was like a eagle or some shit.
Yeah, Dollarama eagle.
Yeah.
Like, didn't we name it? Like, I'm
after GTA 5, yeah. Franklin from GTA 5.
Yeah, but ironically enough, like, isn't it the dude?
Wait, actually, I didn't even know it was a GTA reference.
Funnily enough, like, the guy like that gets struck by lightning with a kite is also
Benjamin Franklin. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
So funny.
I never made that. I never made either of those connections.
There's
I
was a just deep thought, story on Franklin.
Deep lore.
Yeah, I just thought the name Franklin was cool. I was like, Franklin. I don't know about any of that.
Okay, so let's chat about who like kind of came up with this one, or and how you got the song written, basically.
A lot of the songs, I don't remember, like, our first time playing them, but this one, I really remember it. We were at my place. Yeah, it was one of those, like, random moments when everything clicks all at once for no reason. Angel just started playing the riff.
Let's hear it.
Yeah, Angel played that, and then I was like, fuck yeah. And then we started playing the verse, like the chords and the drums together, and we were like, yeah, that's a song.
Okay. And then did the lyrics come after?
Yeah.
Were you humming along the melody, or like how did that come to be?
I have a vague memory of me singing Smoking Takis over it for some reason, because really?
That one time when I smoked Takis.
Yeah, so I wanted to make like a little like garage like punky song about like having fun and stuff, and it was gonna be about smoking Takis.
It was gonna be like a fun song, and then we were like dead fish, dead rest fish. In peace. Rest in peace, Franklin.
Yeah.
Let's hear a little more
of the song.
Yeah.
In a bag, I think I'm gonna die. That's okay, cause I'm going somewhere else. Plastic bags, plastic trees. This place is so unreal. How do I feel? At least I'm alive. I guess I'll be alright. Oh, Franklin Jr. Franklin Jr. Franklin Jr.
Amazing. I heard plastic bag? Is that at all relate to...
Yeah, yeah, it's all about fish stuff.
Yeah, like the basically the first verse, it's like the fish just getting out of the pet store that sucks already a lot it's for
like
the fish.
From, this whole song is like from the perspective of like your pet fish. And that's what inspired us to do that song.
Yeah, so at first he's like happy because like the place is way cooler than the little cups that they keep the fish in. But then he gets tired really fast and wants to do something else.
And when you're coming up with riffs, does that just like hit you? Or is it inspired on music you're listening to?
Both. Because we were listening to a lot of punk stuff. Like,
I think we were listening to like Miserloo.
Yeah, a lot
of that. So like I could kind of see the similarity, like the like in between the like some chords would.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, I could hear it, but I think we were listening to a lot of Miserloo, and we were like Miserloo, like Wipeout.
Yeah,
like a lot of like that.
Yeah, we all listened to pretty different music, or not like super different music, but we all have like specific things that we're really into that don't always like sound the same. So it's like we all bring in different like elements of a bunch of like random shit and like put it together. It might be my favorite song that we have like released. I really like it.
It's a lot of fun to play.
It definitely is a rager at the shows for sure.
Yeah, I think that's the funnest part about it, is that people like go crazy.
The chorus is really easy to sing, so like when we did that show at Entrepôt under the overpass this summer, during that part, like a bunch of the crowd like came on the stage and was like singing the chorus. It was crazy. Our voices were both super blown out from doing a show the night before, and so it was cool that like people came on the stage and like helped us sing it.
Was it like the first time you had people singing along?
Yeah.
Was that a crazy feeling?
On the stage, yeah, but it's been people singing every now and then.
Yeah, but like that's probably the
loudest it's ever been.
Definitely.
Like when I saw like the people really knew our song, I was like, what? Like that's always one thing that's always gonna shock me, is that like people know our songs by heart.
Yeah.
And it's really like, what? Like I would have never in my life like thought that people would be singing our songs that we wrote, like we personally wrote, which is like a crazy idea.
So I hear you're working on a new album. What's different this time around with this new experience?
It's an EP. It's like these old songs that we wrote like a really long time ago that we're like reworking and making a lot better than they were originally.
There's a lot of things different about it. I feel that it also is like an evolution, you know, compared to the EP to now. Mm-hmm. So in terms of like music-wise, definitely, I think we changed from surf to God knows what.
This one came out way more like punk in a way. It's like a bit heavier. It's like, yeah, like old songs that we revisited. But like at first I was like kind of scared because I was like, oh, like old songs, like I would rather do new stuff. I think like we did a good job in like making them relevant to us again. And yeah, I'm really excited to put it out.
Is it weird like coming back to old songs, knowing you had more like life experience, knowing you feel differently about it?
It was special because some of the songs like we had like almost even like completely abandoned and stuff.
Like a long, long time ago, we had this idea that we wanted to record an album. And then that was like right before the pandemic happened. So like everything closed, all the studios were closed, and like recording was like not really a question anymore. So we kind of like let everything sit for a while. So this is kind of like taking the best ideas that were like in that project and just like putting them out as like a more concentrated, smaller EP thing.
For this record, No Waves is trying to take their time and come up with a more polished final product.
For the first EP, like it was really that we just really, really wanted to play shows and put music out. This time, like this one, we had to re-record it like twice already. So like it's been like a very, very long time. So it's, we're at a point where it's like, okay, we messed up the whole process like enough times that we're gonna take our time, and like when it's gonna be ready, it's ready.
How did you mess it up? Like in what way?
Well, sometimes it was like problems with recording, or we were not satisfied, and like you try to rework like the same like recording or session, and it just doesn't like come out right.
The first time we recorded it, all the files got like all screwed up and we couldn't work with them anymore for some reason. So we recorded a second time, and this time we're like, all right, like no more fucking around.
And are you doing this all on your own, essentially? Or are you going into a studio?
We're going into a studio.
Okay. Somebody else is manning the board.
Yeah.
Is there any like particular emotions or feelings that you're trying to get across on this album? Is there any kind of backstory to it?
Some of the songs, even though we wrote them like when we were younger, I found myself like relating to the songs again and like reinterpreting the words that I like we had written a while ago. So like I think it's a lot of like being scared and feeling lost a bit or jaded. It's like it's a bit emo.
It's almost like you're looking back and like do you re-feel it, or you're kind of like, that's how I felt when I was 15.
I feel like I feel it more now than when I was younger.
You're projecting what you would feel.
In a way, yeah, because it's a lot of like, I don't know, it's like I feel like I'm in a period in my life where there's a lot of change and like things feel a bit uncertain, and I think the songs kind of reflect that of like not really being sure where you're at and growing up and things changing.
Besides their energized performances, one of the things that always stands out at a No Waves show is the level of engagement they show with the audience. And then in terms of kind of like your performances, how do you think about your audience and what do you try to channel when you're performing live?
I think we try to make every show like safe, and then at the same time try to like turn up as much as like physically possible.
The people around you, don't touch anyone that doesn't want to be touched. Respect each other. So if someone calls, pick them up. And don't be a fucking asshole. Don't be a tough guy.
If we can like release as much energy as possible and like receive as much energy as possible from the crowd, then it's been a good show.
Yeah, I think being like as accessible as we can, always keeping in mind that it might be someone's first show, and it also might be someone's like 3,000th show. So like we always try to keep it like interesting, or give as much as we can.
Mm. Yeah, we try to switch up our set like all the time to keep it like keep it fresh.
I think it's a lot of fun that people can participate on it. Like that's one of the best things that shows is when people get excited and they want to sing too and they want to play the guitar and stuff like that.
If we can like interact with the crowd as much as possible, like people stage diving and like just doing all that type of stuff, it's all really awesome.
One thing that we can all agree on is that music is about sharing. And, you know, Angel, I think he lives by that, like, quote, like, every single... That's his, like, life goal, is just to share as much art as possible. And that's about it, just, like, to kind of propulse more art everywhere and, like, the culture around it.
Of Also Cool Sounds Like is hosted, produced, and edited by me, Aviva Lassard, and Gwen Rowley in collaboration with Also Cool magazine. Shout out to the Also Coolers Malaika Astorga, Zoe Argyropoulos Hunter, Holly Hiltz, and Rebecca Judd for their editorial support. Our intro music is by Jacob Lassard, and the show's artwork is designed by Vasco Cavallero. Check out the magazine at alsocoolmag.com or on Instagram at alsocoolmag. We'll include a link to No Wave's music in the show notes. Don't forget to rate and subscribe to this podcast wherever you listen. If you'd like to be featured on the show or want to recommend an artist, email us at podcast@alsocoolmag.com. Thanks for listening!